CliffCentral.com. Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is 2 minutes past 10 on Friday morning. Sex talk with John T. Searle and the gaggle of misfits, miscreants, mischievous perverts, and everybody else we happen to find along the way.
And that's just Tamar.
Misdemeanors.
Ha ha ha. Oh, sorry. Ho ho ho.
So, morning, Tamar.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Lisa.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Anastasia.
Good morning.
And our very, very special guest, Gareth Buerta.
Good morning.
It is really cool to have you here and an honor. This means so much.
Thank you.
And we'll talk about why. So, thank you for that.
Thank you.
So, before we kind of get into sex talk, we did the condom challenge.
Just now.
We attempted it.
Four times.
It happened in the way that it happened.
Our technique could do with a little bit of refinement.
See, I think you guys need to come to me for some lessons.
What do you expect a lesbian to do with a condom, first of all? Okay.
Yeah, we're not qualified to handle them.
Not at all.
So we are going to post this where?
Everywhere.
No, it'll, so where can people see
so
it?
So you can go to the Cliff Central page, Sex Talk page.
We'll do Facebook.
Twitter, we'll be on Facebook. And all the details will be available
and
then.
And we'll put it on our resumes, just in case.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, Anastasia's really trying hard to get to hospitals now. So.
Well, yeah. If it's going to help you get a foot in the door.
As a patient, maybe.
It almost did. Yeah. It almost did. And she came with such a beautiful dress today.
Psych Ward 101.
Anastasia was really, really trying to get away and not to be involved in that condom challenge. Lisa got all wet. I have no clothes.
So yeah, Tamara's sitting here without bra, without panty.
We expanded no panty underwear. It's no bra underwear as well.
She is wearing a dress.
Well,
let's
I have
just add, everything is covered up.
For now.
She's not naked.
Yeah, the morning is young.
I don't know why you're emphasizing that.
Disclaimer. That's just a disclaimer.
No, I think it's going to create great rating. You know, radio is for ugly people, so I'm fine. I can be naked as much as I want. I don't know what you're talking about.
So join our conversation on
0861-555-189. Message us to screen on WeChat or send us a tweet on sextalk_CliffC.
Cool. So let us begin with this.
Ninja sex. Chocolate starfish. Twitter bag. Calipagian.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
Quattro train.
Ooh.
Dirty dictionary word.
Quattro train. Any idea what a quattro train is?
I have no idea.
That must be a daisy chain with four participants.
I was also going to go with the Spanish version of un, dos, tres, cuatro.
Oh, yeah.
So, four people in a train.
Four-wheel drive.
I have no idea.
Okay, so essentially, you are correct.
Ah.
So it's four people in a swap or a train or a whatever. And I'm sure we've had this discussion before, but it kind of brings it up. What number constitutes an orgy? What is the minimum number for an orgy?
I think five.
Definitely 23.
Stage, I would love
is that
to
your
see
number?
I'd love to see the movies you see. You know what it is to pay 23 actors?
You're 23.
You know, if someone asks you if you've ever been involved in an orgy and you desperately want to be able to say no, you have to bend the definition.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, like, no. Only
have you ever been involved in an orgy?
No.
We're not talking about me today.
So I would say minimum of five or six constitutes an orgy.
I suppose, yeah, because you've got a threesome is a threesome and a foursome is a foursome.
No, that's a quattrosome, apparently.
Well, a quattro train, yeah.
After that, where do you go? And I think minimum five or six gets to orgy status.
Okay, I'm glad we established
that. We don't
that.
Have
it's
our ancient
better.
Roman consultant in studio, yes. So we'll just have to go with that.
That's yeah, it. Okay. We'll go with that. So we are talking about something a little bit more serious this morning. I can see I'm
he
really
says
good
after the, really between good the Star Wars position, sex position, we're going to have your sex definition and our condom challenge. Gareth, good luck. You go, boy. I hope we can shed it. No, I'm kidding. Let's go.
I it. Love how you go. We're having a very serious conversation this morning with a massive smile.
Hey, it's a beautiful discussion.
Yeah, and some mornings it's hard to be serious.
Definitely when it's Christmas is here, yeah. So we
yeah,
can
difficult, maybe. Difficult to keep a straight face. For some of us, it's difficult to even think straight. Right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Some people.
Oh,
exactly.
Oh, that was very good.
Let's tweet it. Yeah. Let's tweet the.
I think you need to tweet that one. That was really good.
What, our straight face?
Our straight face.
That we just can't think straight. Yeah.
Exactly. Lisa will do it as a representative, yeah. As the chair committee. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So, this is such an honor for me because Gareth has been doing a healing journey with me and a couple of weeks ago said that he would like to do this interview because it came from you. Where did that come from?
I think for me, you know, I've come a long way having worked with you for the last 6 months. But, you know, for me personally, you know, there's so many people that I work with and that I interact with on a daily basis that it's almost like we are so suppressed emotionally and sexually because the social norms and taboos don't allow us to be free. And, you know, I'm very, very blessed to have, you know, met you and worked with you for the last few months. And it's really opened my eyes to a whole new world. Of not just thinking, but feeling. And therein comes the healing.
Which is really awesome. This is quite hard for me because it's almost like interviewing myself in a way. So,
Chanti, not everything is about you.
No, I'm aware of that. Oh, absolutely.
No, you are. I can see you're in a vulnerable place. It's very cool.
This is a difficult one for me. It's a beautiful one. And it's absolutely, it's so amazing to share. But it's so important.
Can we ask the question as well?
Yeah,
will you let Anastasia,
absolutely.
Lisa, and me ask some absolutely. Questions? That would be lovely.
So that'll be really awesome. Where did this start for you? How did this begin?
Well, basically 6 months ago, having been married for 10 years, my wife asked me for a divorce. Naturally, what that does is throw one into a world of chaos.
Yeah.
I didn't even know where to start. You know, you go from being in this normal sort of set life, married, 3 children, you know, successful business, thinking that you've got all the corners covered and your life is completely rounded. And then all of a sudden you get thrown into absolute chaos. I think for me, having been able to find people like yourself, friends, family for the support, and start an entirely new journey of healing and awareness, it's been absolutely amazing. So in a very short space of literally 6 months, having gone from a point of absolute chaos to the point that I couldn't even breathe when I woke up in the morning to face the day, to now a point of absolute almost excitement, spontaneity, hopefulness for the future, and that in itself speaks wonders to what's capable when one starts actually going down these types of roads or journeys, as you want to call them.
Yeah, because we can't do it on our own, firstly, and that's such an important thing to understand. And the second thing is the possibilities that can come from every situation, no matter how painful they are in the moment.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
And the gifts that are present for us in literally every moment, every experience that we have.
That's exactly it. It's so hard to see it as a gift when you're in that space.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the journey is still, you know, I've still got a long way to go. Mm. There's definitely no destination here. It's a continual journey. But again, I'm just very grateful to have met the most amazing people along the way, yourself included, who have just helped me understand and almost move completely outside of the box in terms of understanding my life and my existence as such.
Mm. I think so much of that goes to expectation. The fact that, as you were saying, you have this life where you think you've got everything covered.
Yes.
And the expectation of that's how it's going to be, because that's what we're taught of how that's what it should be.
Correct.
And all of a sudden, it's not.
Exactly.
And that expectation is huge. And when that's shattered, it's like the ground underneath our feet is totally, totally broken.
It's important for me to ask, Gareth, you come from, you're not a holistic, are you a very spiritual person? Are you?
Somewhat, but okay. not to the degree that.
What do you do in the day-to-day basis? What is your occupation?
Okay, so I'm a director. I've got a consulting business. It's basically in the engineering field.
Okay.
Around IT, we basically build data centers.
Well, you know, when I started getting to know Jonty, I thought only people that go through, you know, spiritual, you know, they're tantra teachers, or they might be just very spiritual people that work in, I don't know, yoga centers, go to see Jonty. Because I thought, how can you explain the fact that a healing journey is for everybody? And when I remember when I saw you in the studio, in the clinic, it boggles me every time. It's like, no, it's people that,
exactly.
Because nobody, who can help you? Who can help you when you are in that position? So, by the way, how did you get to Jonty? What happened there?
So, I was basically online, just searching for, you know, somebody who I could work with, life coaches, and I came across Jonty's website, and yeah, gave him a call, sent him an email, and he was very.
And
open.
It was his looks. You just like the way he looks. It was like, oh my God, I have to go to this man, see how I can learn a little bit of tips there. Yeah, that was the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah. And it's so important to get that this is for everybody, this journey. And I've worked with people over the years from every walk of life. And it's not, there's a way for everybody. There's a path for everybody. And there's a language for everybody in this, regardless of where you come from. And that's a common language of the heart, I think, more than anything else, of getting into that. And you said that the feelings have become so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving from the head into the heart.
For me personally, I grew up in a home whereby, from a very young age, I have an older brother. We were both taught that, you know, that cowboys don't cry. Mm. And as men, we kind of get taught from a young age that we have to suppress our emotions. And coming to this, or getting through this, the last few months, you know, you actually, you have to move outside of that space, because you can't contain the emotion. It's completely unhealthy. So working with you and having to actually be able to face those emotions and actually be allowed to grieve, cry as a man, and be open with that. That's very important in terms of this healing journey for me.
It is, because without that we are disconnected from one of the most important parts of who we are. It's just this total disconnect that this part of us, and it just gets more and more and more suppressed. And it comes out in a lot of men as anger.
Yes.
And we have generations of angry men running around, who have never been able to express themselves fully. They've never been able to be who they really are.
Yeah.
And exactly. When you arrive to the studio, you know, Jonty is a conscious sexuality therapist. Wasn't for you as a man intimidating, or what's going to happen in that space? What is he going to do? What's happening?
I was very apprehensive the first time I met Jonty. Intrigued, but also very apprehensive, yeah. But I can honestly say that it's been an amazing journey. It really has. Because it's been approached with not just, I would say, maturity, but almost spirituality. And it's been very, very healing for me.
I mean, many people go through this, and many people are actually scared to experiment with, you know, things that Jonty does and sexual healing and that, because they don't understand it. So what process did you kind of go through to get to the point where you made the decision, this is what I want to do, instead of going to maybe a grief counselor or a normal psychiatrist or something like that? What process went through you before you actually decided this?
When I got onto Jonty's website, Eros Life, obviously there's a whole lot about sexual healing and the tantra and all the different healing modalities. And the healing modality spoke to me specifically, where Jonty talks about how, you know, through pleasure one can actually unlock a lot of healing and the potential for that. So something just spoke to me. And again, I was very apprehensive, but I'm glad I reached out, because it's been amazing.
I mean, Jonty, the reverse for you. I mean, as a healer and a coach, you know, in what you do, you must get a like amazing satisfaction or great feeling hearing people speak about what you do and how you help them.
Yeah, it's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's an incredibly powerful experience on every level. And it allows me to express so much of myself and so many different parts of me. And in that space, the highest part of who I am. And that's one of the reasons to be in the space and to do what it is that I do for me. Mm-hmm. What was the hardest thing for you in this journey?
The letting go, the accepting, just to be able to be free enough to actually allow the healing to take place, and to be open to new possibilities. And I think what's been very, very beneficial for me is that a lot of the coaching from your side has been very practical. In other words, I get tools that I can use every day. So, you know, one day when I wake up and I'm feeling angry, I have methods and tools to be able to deal with that, which has been very, very helpful for me.
Yeah. And it has to be, because if it's just airy-fairy and if it's just about a theory or an idea, we can't do anything with that. And it has to be, how can we actually change something?
Correct.
And that's really, really important, is what can we do to change that? Because through change we'll grow, through change we'll heal, and through change we create possibilities.
Exactly.
And that's the biggest thing. Because we've been talking a lot. One of the central themes that I've been working with for the last couple of months, we were talking about this. We went out for supper, the four of us, last night. And we were actually reasonably well behaved.
Reasonably.
Excuse me, is that possible? Scissoring in public.
Yeah.
Because we were in public, and it's a place we do want to go back to.
I think the owner is way more corrupted than us, and he can't wait.
I think so too.
Yes.
After tomorrow's storm to the kitchen, I don't know if we're going to be
Nobody takes away my dessert. Nobody. Yeah. Don't go there.
Yeah, but one of the things that we were talking about was this idea of, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Yeah.
And holding on to that rightness, but what you have to let go of to be happy is huge, because it's this life that we've built based on these premises, these expectations, these ideas that we have of being right, quite simply.
It's exactly that.
Yeah, we spoke quite a bit about that last night.
One of the things that always stands out to me when we have this discussion, and something that recurs as a theme on the show, we talk about it a lot, is kind of the guilt and the shame and the ideas of the ways that we are expected to behave. Mm. And a lot of the healing process is really, and this is one of my buzzwords that you've heard before, it's about unlearning. Mm. You know, it's not so much about learning new things as it is unlearning and letting go and liberating yourself from a lot of those sort of damaging, very damaging misconceptions and prejudices, and trying to free yourself from the grasp of that. And I often say, I think that unlearning is much harder for us to do.
It is.
Because we are creatures that are conditioned, and it's years and years of conditioning that comes from every side. It's not just, you know, we get it in school. Mm. We get it in school. We get it in newspapers. We get it on TV. We get it from friends, from family, everywhere.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. And here's a beautiful meditation that I shared with you as part of the journey. And it comes from an idea of Michelangelo's, which was saying that if you sit with this big block of marble, the statue is inside. You allow the statue to reveal itself by chipping away everything that is not this statue.
So you should take a pickaxe and a hammer to everything and everyone that you don't like in the world.
No, it's about revealing yourself.
Oh, okay. I thought it was about homicidal violence.
No, I misunderstood. Okay. Who rattled your cage this morning?
Yeah, she seems a little bit suppressed or angry this
but
morning.
But I must be honest, it suits you. You look wonderful. I love it. I'm getting turned on.
I think she's upset because she's the only person in the studio that's not wet.
So we got a call.
Oh, I got wet. Don't worry.
we got a caller on the line. Good morning. Let's try Telka.
Good
there we
morning.
Go. Is on. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you, Anne?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, we're having fun here, thank you.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, everybody, hi, team.
Hello.
Hi, where are you from?
My name is Anne. I'm in a process or busy on a journey with Bronte, and I just wanted to phone in to sort of chat about my experience and how far we've come. We actually approached Bronte probably about 3 months ago, after the birth of our second child. And I think anybody with small kids or a newborn baby knows that your relationship or your marriage probably takes a back seat. And so we wanted to just chat to Bronte to maybe help us improve our intimacy and teach us a couple of new things. But never in my wildest dreams would I thought that this journey would have the effect that it has had on our marriage.
Wow. What has improved or changed in your marriage?
I think my husband and I have been to normal sort of marriage counseling before, and I know that has its place, and I'm not knocking that, and I'm not saying that that's not other people's journey. I can only speak from my personal experience, but the impact that it's had on our intimacy, on our communication, and even just in, I think it's just opened our eyes and broadened our horizons in terms of that you don't have to be stuck in a long-term relationship or with somebody where it's the same thing day in and day out, or where you sort of lose that passion and you lose that fun. Like, it can still be exciting and it can be amazing. Mm. I mean, the things that we've learned and the things that we've seen, Jonty knows, I'm so shy. It's insane. I was also quite apprehensive when we approached him, but he just showing us how amazing sexuality can be, how amazing and beautiful the sexual energy can be, and that can be a part of your relationship. My husband and I were actually talking, and after one of the sessions, we sat down and we said, you know, this actually sucks because my husband's close to 40 and I'm in the middle of my 30s, and to only be sort of introduced to this now, if only we had met John 20 years ago, it would have made such a difference to our lives. But in any case, we're here now, and it's just been amazing. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, whose idea was it to go to John T, yours or your husband's?
Sorry, this line's quite bad.
The idea to go to John T, was it your idea or was it your husband's idea?
It was my idea.
Your idea. And how did you open the conversation with your husband? Because, I mean, we often talk about communication and having these type of, conversations with your partners. So how did you approach the subject?
What happened was after the birth of our first child, the sort of same thing happened. And we went to normal type sort of marriage counseling. And there, I'm not saying that we didn't benefit from that or that there wasn't some gain there, but, you know, it was a lot of talking and just, we kind of felt that we're still kind of stuck in the same place. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want that to happen again after the birth of our second child. And so I sat him down and said, listen, you know, we've tried this route and we've tried the regular route. I heard about John T through a girlfriend of mine, and I said to him, you know, we don't want to go through the same thing again, and we don't want to leave it too long. So, you know, why don't we try something else? My husband's a very open person, mm-hmm. so he was completely open to it and seen to it, and thank goodness he was, because, yeah, like I said, it just made such a difference in our marriage.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That really is beautiful.
Thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful day.
Thanks, Anne.
Gareth, so if you don't mind me asking, and if this is too personal, please feel free not to answer. I mean, you got to Jonty after your divorce, not before. Do you think that if maybe 4 or 5 years ago, before you guys actually got to the point of getting divorced, if you and your wife went to Jonty, that would have made a big difference, or that your wife would have even been open to the idea?
I think would have made a massive difference. Oh.
It's about education for relationship, and we talk about that so much, that nobody teaches us how to have relationships, good mm-hmm. relationships,
exactly.
How to be good lovers.
For me, it's the classic anecdote of, I thought I knew a lot until I mm-hmm. learned a little. Mm. So the more I go down this road with Jonty, the more I actually realize how much there is to learn and to know. Mm. And the growth and the possibilities of growth, it's tremendous.
Yeah. The awesome thing for me in that is exactly the same thing, how much more there is.
Yes.
And this journey of exploration, of personal exploration of myself and ideas and possibilities and pleasure and how we keep bringing that into the world and keep enlarging is phenomenal because it's limitless.
Exactly.
And we are limitless, and that is the most exciting thing that there is. That's just amazing. So in 5 minutes, one of you has to tell a real sex story.
Anastasia.
Understand.
Why do they always point straight to you?
No, it's today. So, today we make a plan to make her more angry. Let's see where it goes. Maybe she'll be like a female condom. Let's see what's happening here.
Yeah, I'm just going to burst and everyone's going to get wild.
Token angry feminist.
Okay, I'm already wet, so you'd only need to aim there, okay? Don't worry, baby. I'm here for you.
Okay, so
I'll dry you up.
All of you, or one of you, or some of you.
Let's do it line by line.
Yes, we'll do it line by line. Okay. So you'll start your story. I carry. That sounds fantastic.
I'm happy to do that. Okay, so you're going to get roped into this.
Yes, am I? Gareth,
you are indeed.
Go. Okay.
Okay, so we will get there when time comes.
Okay. Maybe Gareth is going to tell us a real sex story. He's already opening up so much.
Where did you start with your sexuality? Before you started this journey, what was your perception of yourself as a sexual being?
I've always been pretty reserved. Mm-hmm. I think for me personally, you know, it's the typical stigma is that men sleep around and have lots and lots of women before they get married. I wasn't one of those types of people.
Oh, you mean that's not true?
That's not true.
Damn it, why am I a lesbian then?
It was only you who did that.
And one of the, if you remember, one of the reasons why I reached out to you was not only because of the chaos I was going through in terms of the divorce, was that I found it very difficult as a man to be with a woman or to be intimate with a woman in the first instance. And what you've taught me and showed me in terms of that has been very, very beneficial.
So we're going to take a quick call from Sue. Good morning, Sue. If I put the telco on, it'll help. Morning, Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hi, Johnsy. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
We almost can't hear her. Oh. Sue, are you far, far away?
No, I'm speaking on speakerphone. I must have put it on normal.
Okay, as long as you're safe.
Yes.
Did you put a condom on the phone?
Yes, I think good. I'm trying to talk to you guys. This is really my experience.
Yes, Sue.
What happened is I haven't led a very straightforward emotional life. I've been abused as a child. I grew up in a very staunch religious background and led me to believe many things which I obeyed by the rule. And I wasn't very satisfied with my sexual life. I had many issues to deal with. And I believed in marriage. I thought it was forever and I accepted it. And I never questioned anything. But then life added, you know, always throws a curveball with someone. And my husband expected me to do things that I didn't really want to accept, and I had issues with it. And I wanted to run and hide, like normal, always did. And then he got in contact with me. I don't know how he found him. No, I really must go and see you. And I was very skeptical at first because I had many problems, and I've tried many, many things in my life, and it hasn't worked. And so I decided I've got nothing to lose. Maybe just do this. And from the very first session, I jumped in and did everything you taught me to do. And the simple things, they made such a difference in my life. And I've always had very great difficulty in communicating how I feel. Yeah. And it's been very difficult along the way. But, yeah, I have time to shut up now. I just talk. And my relationship with my husband has improved because you work with both of us as well. And you are communicating with a difference. You're putting into practice all the little things that you have taught us. And you are making steady progress. And we understand each other much better now. And I actually am making myself heard because I'm communicating better in what I want in life. And we are accepting it much better. It's been a very bumpy road, but in the past 6 weeks, it's been turmoil because I've been crying, sobbing up and down, but I've made changes and things are good.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you for listening.
And we wish you so much pleasure.
Thank you.
You know, we've been hearing a lot about what you do, Johnson, and the tools you give people. And I mean, you know, for someone that doesn't understand how you work, it might seem like it's all sexual and touching and feeling. And actually, from experience, I know that's not true. So do you want to maybe just tell our listeners or just kind of give them pointers or what exactly, when we say tools, what are you referring to? That it's
can
not just...
Can we be a little bit specific about what actually
that this
goes
is not
on.
Actually physical, that it's more like, you know, mental, those kind of things, if you can...
So let's get that from somebody else.
Maybe Gary.
Okay. Yeah. So... what's nice about working with Jonty is that he starts in a very gentle manner. He approaches your difficulties or your challenges in a very, very gentle way, which I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Firstly. Secondly, he deals with you holistically, which I enjoyed. So he doesn't just deal with pockets. In other words, if your sexuality is an issue, if you find it difficult to be intimate with women like I do, he doesn't just deal with that. He looks at the entire picture, mm-hmm. which is very, very important. Then he gives you practical tools to use on a daily basis. So, for example, if you wake up, like I say, and you're angry with the world today because you're going through a divorce or there's difficulties in your business or you've got difficulties with your spouse, you have practical tools via meditation, readings, reading material, etc., to really assist you to deal with that and actually heal from it, move on, and be better at it going forward. Mm.
So a lot of it is a very body-oriented process that might not be about touch as such in terms of healing work, but it's teaching you things to do with your body, because our body contains all that we are. Our body contains all our feelings, our thoughts, our energies. It sits inside of us. So if we have something that we can do that connects us to that, because that's tangible, it's very real.
Yes.
We can move energy. We can release the feelings. We can acknowledge the feelings. We can find them inside of us and then do something with that. And that's the biggest thing. You have to be able to feel the feelings.
Yes. That was a big one for me, Jonty, that you taught me that if you're feeling angry or frightened or whatever you're feeling, it's okay sometimes just to sit with that and not do anything with it, but just acknowledge it and just sit with it.
Yeah, because it's very important. We live in this kind of quick fix world where everybody wants everything in 5 minutes to change. Instead of being able to sit with, for example, frustration and say, I am frustrated.
Yes.
I don't necessarily need an answer immediately. I don't know an answer. But from there, just from that acknowledgement of it, I can start to see what's the frustration about? Where can I go with it? What can I learn from it? And allow something else to emerge beyond the very limited conscious mind perception that we have.
I have... Okay, one of the biggest things for me in the way you work is that you make sense with holistic and Eastern knowledge and years of experience. You make sense. You know how to translate it to people's Western people that, deal with normal lives and don't have even a lot of time to sit and read a lot of books or can analyze. You help it to be approachable, clear. And I don't know, the biggest thing for me is the fact that you went through the process so many times with so many people. You bring it in the right angle so the person can see the knowledge or can see the truth or can see the gift that is offered to him and he can use it. That's a huge thing, because so many gurus sitting out there and they're not approachable. You can't understand what they're saying. And how is it connected to me and my two kids or, my successful business or the fact that I'm getting a divorce in this time? Sorry, something interesting happening there. Okay. So, it's just to make it, it's like a modern way of healing when the discussion is very, very here on the table, very clear.
It has to be, because it has to be accessible to all of us. Mm-mm. And whether you're Jewish, whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're, it doesn't matter. There's a way for everybody in this.
And we've established last night I'm the only non-Jew in this team.
Yeah, I Gareth, what do you think about that? I joined Tinder just, to have more meat on my plate, because I'm vegetarian, so I need more girls, and kind of like from one single person to the other. Oh, actually, they're not so single, but anyway, let's talk about it later. So I'm on Tinder, and I write this to this chick, how are you? She liked me, so how are you? No, no, no. And all she writes in return is, I don't like Jews. Oh, sorry. I hate Jews. That was her reaction. I hate Jews. So I obviously reported her to Tinder, and no, I didn't.
I was obviously shocked to find out you were Jewish.
Yes. Lisa is still shocked. She's sitting among Jews.
I'm converting this weekend.
By the way, have you noticed who's in Cliff Central? Ooh. Have you noticed? Ooh. Well, the amount of Jews here, let's just say that a synagogue sometimes don't have so many Jews in the same place.
Yeah, I think Cliff Central has a minyan, is that right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Minyan.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. We do. Okay, so let's just get a little bit naughty for a while, shall we?
Oh, no.
You can watch porn, or you can just listen to the real sex stories.
The floor is yours.
Wow, all eyes are on me. All right. She took the condom out of her bag, grasped the wrapper in between her teeth, and slowly tugged. It's your turn, Lisa.
Oh, I thought you were explaining what you were doing this morning. No.
Come on, let's go.
It's a story.
Next line of the story.
She got confused at the fact that she had a condom on her in the first place, because she won't be needing it, so she took out her gloves.
Yummy. Caressed. Okay, and then she approached the two gorgeous chicks that were sitting next to her and started slowly undressing them as she put the gloves on like a surgeon. That's what turns me on. A surgeon glove. Okay, no, a beautiful glove, and start caressing their pussies.
She could feel their skin through the gloves. She could feel the heat. She could feel the wetness. Her own arousal started to build.
And so she removed from her bag some sex toys, and things started to really heat up.
The sense overpowered her, that mixture of sweat and body fluids and pheromones, and she felt her own heart beginning to race beneath her chest.
She took the strap on and slightly slipped it on and looked her partner in the eye and said, "Now you're going to get it."
Then she orgasmed.
That is an anticlimax.
Oh, no. Just put her mic off. Put it off, Jonty girl.
Jonty, continue. Sorry, that's the biggest turn on. What am I supposed to say now? I'm also not allowed to say some stuff today, so I don't know what to do. You go.
Okay. Well, we need to play this. This is really important.
What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Join us for the sexiest VIP party at Madison Avenue, Santon's newest nightclub. Cliff Central's taking over the VIP area, so join us as our special VIP and start 2016 on the right note. General admission is 200 Rand, but our exclusive VIP party together with Absolute Vodka is 500 Rand, which includes great music with me, Gareth Cliff O'Neill, Miss Prue and the Cliff Central crew, an outdoor tented area, lots of bars, food, prizes, gorgeous people, and a night to remember. Book now for Cliff Central Rocks Madison at CompuTicket.com. Go to CliffCentral.com for more details and stay tuned for everything you need to know. Be absolute and rock into 2016 with us.
So I'm going to the New Year's Eve party.
I just want to know, was that part of the sex story?
And then Gareth came and we all started messing with him.
Okay. She saw a strap on, she came, and then Gareth came and told us to come to Madison.
Everyone is coming. That's pretty much
I want to come on Madison.
It's about sharing is caring. And
there we go.
There we go.
And I think, are we going to be there? Are we going to be in
You're going to be in Israel, darling.
You know what? I'm starting to think about it, and I think it's going to be very, very funny in that party.
Well, I'm gonna be there.
Okay.
Which I'm really looking forward to that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What's changed about your perception of sexuality as a man through this journey?
Firstly, almost the stigma attached to sex and sexuality has to a degree been dissolved. Which is very freeing, and it's liberating to know that my sexuality is a massive part of my being, or me as a being, and that by embracing my sexuality and actually working with my sexuality, there is tremendous possibility and healing that's unlocked through that.
So that's putting your sexuality in the context of the rest of your life and connecting it to everything else that you are.
Yes, exactly.
And that's such an important aspect of this, because we put our sexuality in this little box. We take it out in very specific, often very limited circumstances. We put it away again, instead of allowing the fullness of it to link with our heart, with our creativity, with our minds, with our spirits, everything that we are.
Exactly. And also just to be able to have open and honest discussions with someone like yourself, it's very liberating and healing, because as men, we're never really taught how to become great lovers for our partners. We're just kind of expected to know. And I think through this process, what I've learned, it's been not only fascinating, but it's exciting, because, you know, obviously I'm single now, but I won't be forever. And when I do meet somebody new, the things that I'm going to be able to do with that person, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, ladies, this guy's hot.
I didn't want to say
anything.
As a lesbian,
I have to agree, he is.
I didn't want to say anything. And the worst thing is that, yeah, He's a customer. That's very good.
So
very
we'll
good.
Be starting customer. A dating service soon. John T.
The Sex Talk dating service is
By the way, this is a brilliant idea.
Yes, we can call it John T. Single Hot Clients. And then you'll do a little profile on yourself, and then John T. will do a little profile.
I want to encourage that. People that leave John T.'s clinic sometimes get frustrated. Because who do you practice with? Mm. And you want to go to workshops and you want to practice yoni massage, which of course all of us would like to have, but not people that are not aware of what it is. And then we need to create our own sensual dating site.
But one of the things that I've always wanted to do, and we've done it, and it's starting to grow, is a community of people who can come together, who can share experiences, understanding what the experiences are, what the boundaries are. And it's the most amazing thing because it becomes a space of safety and such a heart and soul space without the limitations or the boundaries of relationship that we generally have, to understand that there's so much more we can do.
Having been on some of your workshops and seeing the work you do with couples and how it benefits them, it truly is amazing. It's a really, really wonderful thing.
Okay. So are we actually doing a sex position today?
Yes, we're just posting first in Twitter. Star Wars. It's going to be a tribute to the Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. So, Princess, you have to help
because
me with the characters.
Who even realized that the Force was asleep?
So are you going to be Yoda?
I think John T's Yoda. John T's got the market cornered.
I have to tell you, after a couple of yoni massages that I did somewhere a while ago, somebody came up to me and he tapped me on the and it just made me smile so much, and he said, "You are Yoda of the yoni."
There we go. So no, only
I'm,
two characters.
I'm sure that's incorrect. It's Yoda of the yoni you are.
Woohoo! There we go. We were talking yesterday about our listeners giving us poor names. So you could be the Yoda of the yoni.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that, actually. From you guys listening, we had this discussion at supper last night. We would love to hear from you what our porn star names would be.
Yeah, so tweet us, message us on Facebook.
It is going to end so well. Yes, we would love to know. Lisa, what's your name? I know what's Anastasia's name today.
What's Anastasia's name? Angry Feminist Lesbian.
That's pretty much always my name.
No, Doctor. Doctor Feminist Angry Lesbian.
That's like a James Bond character.
It is.
Yeah, I'm definitely the villain. We've established that quite a while ago.
Or for Pinky and the Brain, you know. What are we going to ruin? We're going to ruin the world. We're going to take over the world.
Okay, so is this position happening?
We're just, first of all, we're tweeting about it.
Double-ended lightsaber.
Where is it being tweeted?
Yes.
Is being tweeted
Tweeting it out at
First of all, it's a hot picture, what we just tweeted, so you should definitely go and check it out on our Cliff Central Twitter handle.
Okay, and then the Periscope link will be on my Twitter account, at Lisa the Lesbian, and then Cliff Central will be retweeting it shortly.
Yes.
But John T., I think that seeing us today does have a lot to do with how wonderful you are, the Yoda of Yoni. Mm. You should be Yoda, and you can choose between Tamar and Anastasia to be your Princess Leia.
Leia? It's not Leia.
Is it Leia?
It's Leia, yeah.
Leia.
I don't watch Star Wars, okay?
It's Princess Leia.
Leia. There we go. So who would you like to be your princess?
That's got to be Tamar's name.
Have I only got one?
No, you have two.
You're
allowed two.
Take both.
Yeah, you have two because we said we're going
to
do double-sided. I see Lisa is
conveniently trying to extricate herself from this predicament.
Today Lisa is the feminist priest.
I'm holding the camera.
You are
to Periscope.
We have a lot of other people who could hold the camera.
No, I'm happy to hold the camera.
Leave her today. She's already wet. It's fine. Leave her alone. Okay, from the condom challenge. Okay. Anastasia. What did we say? It's a double-sided dildo? No, we called it differently. Double-sided?
It's a double-ended lightsaber.
Gareth,
obviously.
Feel free to join in.
Yeah. Yes. No, Gareth.
Gareth's going to do the commentary.
Can you be the Harrison
Gareth
Ford?
Gareth is going to do the commentary.
There we go. I think you should all move over to the couch and
we need to find the sword. I'm going to look for a sword. I'll be back now.
Did none of you bring one?
Of course not. We just thought we were going to fuck each other.
We all walk around with double-ended dildos in our bags at all times.
Hey.
Listen, there are some people that would not be surprising to
find
in
their
bags.
The amount of condoms that came out of our bags today all together was amazing.
It's shocking. So I just walk up to someone. I'm like, "Do you have a condom? Yes, yeah. Do you have a condom? Yes, yeah. Do you have a condom? Yes. Why do you have a condom?
There
because
we go.
You can cut them in half and make dental dams out of them.
Interesting.
I have something interesting.
There we go.
It's a hanger, but it's a velvet hanger.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Let's start the periscoping right now.
Okay.
I think, you know what? For me, it would work. I like the idea of double side. This is also a little bit like an anal hook. Mm-hmm. So maybe a third person can join. Maybe like somebody that is a little bit interested to know how it's going to end.
I would love to see where that hook ends up.
To be honest, this is nice texture. It's very nice.
Okay, can we stop talking about the toy now and get on the couch, please?
Jonty of the Yoda. Yoda of the
Yoni.
Okay,
so why don't I direct you two?
No. You have to take part, Yoda.
You are the holding it. You are the Captain Hook of the Yoda.
Okay. On the couch, legs open. Let's go.
I can't legs open. I have no underwear.
Yeah.
Oh, God. If you,
don't make your problem somebody else's. Yeah.
Okay, so we will be doing the Star Wars sex position shortly.
May the hanger be with you.
Isn't that from Star Trek? Sorry, I don't know the difference.
And it sits on your, like this. And you
okay. Oh, so you're on the other side of me. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Wow. So should get Dory to come take a picture of this as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, please take a picture of us.
Okay, so Jonty pretty much has the hook up against his penis right now.
By the time you guys have done this, one of us is going to be asleep.
Anastasia is on the one side and Tamar is on the other side.
And here is our Star Wars sex position of...
Okay, and Anastasia and Tamar are busy making out right now. I'm just saying. I'm just commentating on what's going on right here.
While we're riding on the hanger.
It's not a hanger. It's a double-ended lightsaber.
It is a double-ended lightsaber. There we go. So Radical ENT would like to know what is going on, so we're just going to explain to the people here. What was supposed to be a Star Wars sex position just turned into a semi-orgy.
Not an orgy. You need 5 or 6 for that. Yeah. It was only 3.
You see, it's a very, it's a, also in
I'm pretty
in,
sure
in,
that we were 18 people short
space,
of an orgy there.
Yes, in space, vessels, you know, in spaceships, you don't have a lot of room. You need to make small orgies and hangers.
You know, NASA have never, in all the space stuff that they've
NASA.
That's how you say
it. It depends. It comes from Springs and it can be NASA.
Fair enough.
That's how Yoda says it.
I think we should get someone from NASA and you to tell us how they have sex up in space.
Because they have...
zero gravity dildos.
They have never done that.
What?
Well, I'm sure that they've done it, but we have never... had any reports about it.
Are you telling me that
happened.
No one has joined the 100,000 Mile High Club?
I'm sure they have, but they've never published anything about it.
Could it
yeah,
be
they don't put it on Periscope because
no.
they're not us.
No.
So, you mean, yes, the
question. They care about personal dignity.
Maybe we should send them a proposal.
To do a Periscope sex position from space?
You want to join the team for that one?
Definitely.
I'm donating my body to science, and I'm happy to go and fuck myself to death in space.
I don't think anybody wants my body, so I'll donate my brain.
Lisa, don't put yourself in a bad position now, because I'm going to use that sentence
again. The first lesbian in space.
There we go. I don't think there's ever been a lesbian in space.
There must have been
a woman, but it has not been reported whether she's lesbian or not. I'm going to try and phone her.
There have been a lot of women who've gone into space, and I promise you right now, they're not all straight.
I'm telling you now, they were having some hot orgy up there.
Oh, yeah.
Some hot, sexy lesbian porno going on up in space.
I think we had a better chance with the Russians than with the Americans.
I have a very sexy story to tell you guys. Yes. Can I say something quick?
Yes.
Okay.
This one time, I went into space and had a lesbian orgy, and then I orgasmed.
And that's it.
And that's the
end of the story.
Yeah, nobody's going to ask you to write a porn script after that.
The man walked in the room, and you orgasmed.
Sorry, Tamar. Please go ahead and tell your story.
Having sex,
and I love
and then
that
she orgasmed.
I love that it's she orgasmed. It's not she convulsed, her muscles spasmed. It's she orgasmed.
She put the TV on slowly and orgasmed. Tamar can't talk.
To be the most amazing book, Tamar's short stories of sex.
So the first 2 pages will be dedications. I dedicate this book to my fellow teammate, Jonty, and she'll write a little story about Jonty and Lisa, and the next page is, she orgasmed.
Oh my God, I'm just envisioning the Latin translation of this novel. It's Veni, Vidi, Vici.
Okay. You know what is very disturbing is that there's children out there listening to this show.
I'm so sorry.
Children and dogs.
Yes, well, that's a whole different aspect. I want to say something in my defense. An orgasm is just a beginning. And then she orgasms 500 times more, okay? So I will say it again and again repeatedly. First things first. Second, you guys suck. I don't know English. It's very difficult for me to try and make porn stories.
And then she orgasmed.
And she orgasmed. I was just going for the easy escape. But I want to tell you a really funny story. And it has nothing to do with orgasm. Story. Okay. Sorry.
Don't worry, it was a Sunday.
It was an orgasm.
It was a hot, steamy Sunday.
Okay.
And then she orgasmed.
Okay, so last Sunday, I was with a friend.
And she orgasmed. Randomly throw in after every sentence the Mar says
this
she orgasmed.
Radio, it's important to finish the sentence and not by orgasm.
I'm going to turn all your mics off.
Thank you so much, Jonty. It's another sex story. So I was in a friend's house, and let's just say there was a TV crew from England. And he asked us to be in the house, me and my friend. And we are good friends, and we used to play in the past. We didn't play for a long time. And we were bored because eventually they started running in the house with the cameras and the microphones and the lights, and we were supposed to move away. So we closed ourselves in the room and we start fucking. It's a female friend. And then she orgasmed. But that's not the point. So
you should turn her mic off now.
No, no. And then they needed us for the TV crew needed us to say how's it and to interview us a little bit. We are butt naked in the room, messing around, doing endless amount of things that has nothing to do with TV or that kind of TV. Anyway, in 30 seconds, we were supposed to put our clothes on, go back and be interviewed by some reporters from England. So it was extremely funny that while we were playing, two of the people that are handling, like the producers, were standing next to our windows and basically listening. So yeah, that was my Sunday. So that was kind of cool. And I just want to say that, you see, I have much more imagination than she orgasmed. So I'm sorry for that.
Was that in your defense story?
Yes, that was my defense. It was a funny story.
Sorry,
that
did not defend you.
Yeah. It didn't work, eh? Okay, I tried my best. Selling myself short.
You have redeemed yourself.
Yeah, I'm taking the hanger home and I'm going to use it not
with
you.
Wow, the comments on the Periscope feed.
I know, isn't it hot?
What's happening? What's happening?
You know what? So clearly
Thank God for God bless the hangers.
So a whole new fetish. I mean, we need to find out if there's a name for a hanger fetish.
Listen, this hanger is, I'm taking it with me to, like,
let's
I'm going to
auction
travel
the
with
hanger.
Yeah. Oh, we should auction the hanger. The hanger will be up on auction on Twitter very soon. Tamar would also be up on auction.
All my body, offered with body fluids from all kind of different areas.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. I'm quite overwhelmed by this whole thing, and I can't thank you enough. And for the people who called in, it touches me so deeply. This really does. It's one of the most precious parts of who I am, and to be able to share it in this way, thank you.
Thank you.
It really does touch me enormously.
And thank you to Sue and Anne that called and shared their stories as well. And Gareth, you're amazing.
Thank you.
The fact that you are willing, people treat sex like a disease. Like, if I'm a successful businessman, I will never expose myself and say that I went to sexual healing or conscious. Mm-hmm. Even you know what, Jonty is a conscious healing, and sexuality comes later.
Correct.
Yeah.
So just thank you so much for helping other people to just understand a bit better.
And this is, for me, just so important, simply because we can all do things differently. We can all be happy. We can be happier. We can explore. We can grow. We can expand. We can communicate. We can have the really difficult conversations that we need to have to create lives and relationships of beauty and power and pleasure. And that really is amazing.
Yeah, it's so important to talk about these things and just bring them out into the open and to say, you know, I don't have any reason to be ashamed and to sit here and to tell my story, and I can be proud of it. And I think that does really great things for everyone who's listening. So thanks, Gareth, and thanks to everyone who phoned in and shared those experiences and made yourselves vulnerable in order to give something back. I think that's incredible.
It really is. We are preparing for next week a 2-hour Christmas special that will be on air on Christmas Day. We are going to pre-record it.
And then she orgasmed.
And then she orgasmed. So if you would like to submit a story, a real sex story, share with us what you've gotten from the show this year, because we've gotten such wonderful emails and messages from people. of what they have learned.
The angry one.
And please send that in to us. It would be Just so beautiful. We'd love that. That will be broadcast on Christmas Day. New Year's Day, which is the following Friday, there is the Best of Cliff Central. So Duncan is taking off.
So are we not on it? Is that what you're saying?
Excuse me, as we got number one of November.
Yeah, never mind, we're not on it. We're the whole day. Anyway, so that will be the Best of Cliff, which is awesome. There's so much happens on the station with just phenomenal, the most amazing people gathered in one place to do this incredible thing.
This is our last live show this year. That's very sad.
In 2 weeks' time, we will be back.
Mm-hmm. And I'll orgasm really awesome. For that.
And then just a reminder to everybody to send in your poor names for the team.
Yes, please. So we're going to change our names and we're going to create Twitter handles for all of us. Yes.
So enjoy the holidays. We wish you all just so much pleasure.
CliffCentral.com.